Good morning. Welcome to the Blacklands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Friday, December 6th. Sharing a table with us in the cafe this morning, the senior pastor of the First United Methodist Church of Commerce, Valerie Englert. Birthdays, jazz master Dave Brubeck, born on this day in 1920. On this day in history, in 1865, the 13th Amendment, officially ending slavery in the U.S., is ratified. It was the main focus of the recent hit film, Lincoln.
You're going to try to pass the amendment to abolish slavery. No one's loved as much as you by the people. Don't waste that power.
Come February the 1st, I intend to sign the 13th Amendment.
Abolishing slavery settles the fate for the millions now in bondage. An unborn millions to come. It's done.
On December 6th, 1884, the Washington Monument is completed in the nation's capital.
Together with the nearby Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial, the obelisks forms an area of not only beautiful and grand architecture, but also a source of inspiration.
On this day in 1969, only a few months after the peace and love of Woodstock, the Rolling Stones' free concert at the Altamont Speedway in Northern California brings the 60s to a dark and ominous end. The alleged killing of a fan by the Hell's Angels at the concert is discussed on San Francisco radio station KSAN. This is from the documentary Gimme Shelter.
This is Stephen Ponick, KSAN Radio, San Francisco. Well, the Rolling Stones' tour of the United States is over. They wound it up with a free concert at the Altamont Speedway for more than 300,000 people. There were four births, four deaths, and an awful lot of scuffles reported. We've received word that someone was stabbed to death in front of the stage by a member of the Hell's Angels. Nothing's confirmed on that. We were there. We didn't see it, but we did see a lot. We want to know now what you saw. Our phones are open. We'd like to hear from you. What was the Altamont free concert like?
Number one on the charts this day in 1954, The Quartets and Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, bum, bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over.
On the KETR events calendar this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church of Commerce, the Merry Marketplace and Usher's Stew benefits local food security agencies and other missions of the church. Lots of baked goods will be on sale, and there will be an antiques corner and a boutique. The Usher's Stew offers a tasty hot lunch for everyone who attends. All community members are welcome. For more information, see events at KETR.org. Our guest in the cafe this morning is the senior pastor of the First United Methodist Church of Commerce, Valerie Englert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Christmas time is upon us, is
yes,
it not?
Yes, indeed.
Kind of a busy time of year for you.
Very busy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you think, Valerie, has Christmas sort of become an ordeal for a lot of us and maybe a chore to get through, and we reach the point where we almost dread it coming around every year?
I think it is for many people. For women in particular who feel like that there are expectations that they have to live up to, that they have to create this wonderful holiday experience that will be magical, and oftentimes neglecting their own needs, their own need for some quiet time, for some rest, and just wear themselves out. I have experienced that myself, especially when my daughter was young as well, too. So I think it is. It's a joyful time, but at the same time, we are also dealing with our own expectations of what we want to try to create during the season.
Television really drives that, too, doesn't it?
I think it does somewhat. Commercials about the perfect gift are a dime a dozen. And they put this kind of picture out there in front of us. And then, and of course, if our children are young, they see these commercials and they're like, perhaps. Mommy, I want that, or Daddy, I want that. And, you know, you've got the list to Santa Claus that gets longer and longer. That's not true for all children, but I think that the pressure is there.
How do we go about starting to change that?
It's very interesting. If I could share this story.
Okay.
A number of years ago, when our daughter was very young, my husband and I were both in graduate school at the same time. And of course, our budget was very, very tight. And so I was feeling a lot of pressure about how to, quote unquote, do Christmas. I didn't know where we would get the money from, didn't know how we would purchase gifts for our daughter, much less gifts for each other and gifts for other people in the family. And it really hit me like a ton of bricks the week after Thanksgiving. I was really in a funk about it. And I remember going to worship. That was the second Sunday of Advent. It would have been the second Sunday in December. And hearing the pastor preach on a text from the prophet Malachi about the refiner's fire. And it speaks of Israel as a people being placed into this very, very hot fire, with God being the refiner, and all of the impurities being burned away. And then what's left is this beautiful, pure metal with all of the impurities burned away. And as I listened to her preach on that sermon, I felt this enormous burden lift and just drop to the ground. And so we did a lot of handmade stuff that year, and then bought a few gifts for our daughter. And she was really young, so she wasn't expecting hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of gifts. And so ever since then, it's been a journey as to pruning away what part of the whole Christmas shtick, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, pruning away what we feel is necessary to our practice, and then practicing what it is that we feel is important.
So it's not a matter of making a drastic change all at once, but sort of working toward it little by little.
I think so, because it's always hard. It's hard to change habits and especially expectations all at once. There is a book that I've actually used in study groups from time to time called Unplug the Christmas Machine. And it has these wonderful exercises that you go through. You fill out worksheets, and it helps you come to grips with how much you're really spending on the holiday. Not just in terms of gifts, but in terms of food, in terms of extra tips for service people in your life, all those kinds of things. And it also has a worksheet where it deals with our dreams and expectations, and then helps us come to grips with those. And it is a journey, but those kinds of tools can really help move us from where we are, and if we're frustrated, to move us to a place to where we can joyfully celebrate the season.
Well, we're out of time for this segment. I think we'll continue talking with Valerie about Christmas on another day very, very soon. Thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
Of course. Thank you.
Valerie Englert is the senior pastor at the First United Methodist Church of Commerce. And you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station 88.9 KETR.